You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, good morning, Riverside friends. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders at Riverside. And in this season of a global pandemic that we're all adjusting to, our leadership, we've finally decided, you know what, we're not going to dive back into our sermon series through Hebrews, which we are going through before all this stuff started happening. Instead, we're going to take a break from Hebrews for a while and really dive into all the stuff going on around us. And so in this season of a global pandemic where people are being ordered to stay at home to help stop the spread of COVID-19, as a church, we're going to be talking about how we can have a firm foundation, how to have a firm foundation in the midst of this kind of really disrupting and somewhat disheartening season. Now, there's going to be a guiding statement for this series, and it comes from the end of Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said this. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." And so in this series, we're going to be looking at how to have a firm foundation, how to have our foundation built on the solid rock that is Jesus, but also how to put this faith into practice like a wise person. Put your faith into practice like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So how do we actually then put our faith into practice? That's the plan for this new sermon series, if you will, that while we're all separated and processing through this pandemic and everyday life kind of stuff. And this morning, we're going to look at part of the same sermon from Jesus from earlier in his sermon that talks about fear and anxiety, which I would assume for most of us, if not all of us right now, we're likely experiencing fear and worry to one degree or another. I'll just take a wild guess. I'm probably not the only one struggling with some anxiety right now. I'm probably not the only one. And so what today we're going to talk about is what do we do with fear and anxiety that's likely marking most of us, if not all of us, right now. And actually, Jesus spoke directly into this in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the Matthew chapter 6. We'll start actually in verse 25. And before I read today's text from the scriptures, let's pause. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is he has for us this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray that as we are dispersed around the city and around this country, I just pray that you would unite our hearts, unite our spirits, God. God, I pray that your word would dwell deeply in us and would do some deep, deep work by your spirit. God, I pray that you would calm us and give us vision for what it means to be people of God in this time season, the season that we're all in. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" See, friends, in the season of a global pandemic, in the call from world governments for everyone to stay at home, I mean, we see people hoarding supplies and hoarding food. And I think this passage could not be more timely, could it? I mean, a lot of the hoarding and the response from people is because of fear and anxiety and worry. And Jesus says in this passage how fear and anxiety works. He says, be careful. Be careful how you value certain things, because the more value you give something, the more fear and anxiety could potentially come because of those things. If you hold on to things too tightly, fear and anxiety will mark your life. I want to give you an example as I was thinking about that this week, how we can overvalue something, how it can then drive to fear and anxiety. A few summers ago, I tried to have a better lawn. If you've been to my house, you'll know I'm terrible with grass, terrible with flowers. My whole lawn is patchy at best, with brown spots in the middle of other just dirt spots. I'm terrible at the lawn. But this few summers ago, I decided I want to try a little harder. I would like a nice lawn. So I rented an overseeder. And I got some new seed, and we planted new seed. I put the fertilizer out at the right times, and I watered the lawn every single day. And at first, it started to look pretty good. My stuff, my lawn, it became a lot nicer. It was awesome. But when that happened, It was really weird. I had this fear and anxiety around my stupid lawn start surfacing. All of a sudden, my kids would go outside and start running on the new lawn that was growing, and I'd scream, "Stop playing on the grass! You're gonna ruin my new lawn!" And I remember at one point just yelling at the kids, get off the lawn, and thinking, wait a minute, why am I like this? My kids have always enjoyed playing in our backyard dirt pit. They just loved running around, and now I'm just worrying about this stupid lawn and keeping my kids from having just a blast. You see, when things increase in value, when they matter more to us, be careful, because how you value something can cause more worry, more anxiety around it. Think about it. If you drive an old beat-up car, you don't worry about every little scratch, right? It's a beater. But if you drive a really nice car, all of a sudden the little scratches start to bother you. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. He says, be careful how you value certain things, even how you value your own life, right? Because the more value you give specific things, the more potential for fear, the more potential for anxiety to rule and reign comes into your life. If you hold on to things too tightly, fear and anxiety can and likely will mark your life. And then Jesus gives an example from nature to help us shift our worry. He gives a beautiful example on how we can shift our worry and anxiety and fear. He says this in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I love Jesus' illustration. Look at the birds. I don't know if you've noticed it, but this past week, I've heard some birds chirping. I've been able to sit in my back deck a little bit. It's springtime's almost here, and I can hear the birds in the morning. And it's a little thing, I know, but it's made me smile this week as a lot of us have been stuck at home in the middle of this pandemic. Now, here's the thing about birds, though. Birds aren't lazy. They're not naive. They're not lazy. They're super active. I mean, birds work hard. They build. They look for food. They're active creatures. They're not lazy. But also, I don't think birds worry. I've never seen or heard of a bird worrying to the point of exhaustion or mental breakdown, right? I mean, birds don't have this such worry that they emotionally break themselves down. And Jesus says that if God cares for the birds, and if God provides for the birds, which have so much less value than you and I, then he's got you as well. He's got me as well. He's got us. And so we get this encouragement from Jesus. Look at creation. Look at creation. Still God provides in creation. And that can help us reduce our worry. And yes, we're to work hard, we're to be good stewards, but ultimately, we're to trust in God. And then I love this next line from Jesus, verse 27. It's like a duh statement. He says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's like, duh. I mean, like, no, of course not. Worrying doesn't really help anything. And yet, I still find myself at times overwhelmed by fear, anxiety, and worry. Quite literally, Jesus is saying, quit torturing yourselves. It's not going to help. It's not going to help to torture yourselves with this worry. It's not going to add anything to your life. And then look where he goes in verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire. Will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Let me give some context here. You see, in the first century Israel, there was not a lot of abundance of trees in their area. And so when it came time to make their daily bread, some folks would actually pull up the grass of the field, the dry grass, sometimes even the dry flowers of the field, as fuel for their ovens that would then bake the bread. So some folks would have to use the dry grass as a way to heat their ovens to bake their daily provision of bread. And Jesus is saying that if God spends that kind of care on grass, as alive today and tomorrow is going to be thrown in the oven. Jesus spends all this time making beauty the things that will eventually be used just for fuel to bake bread, daily bread, how much more does he care for us? And this might be a side note, I guess, but by the way, I don't think Jesus is being shy here by the fact that we're all going to die. He's not shying away from the fact that death is a very real thing, is he? He doesn't shy away about talking about death. He's not naive about it. Look, friends, I've been a pastor at Riverside now for almost 11 years now. I've done 15 funerals as your pastor. And the reality is I probably have more funerals to do in the future, right? Including, likely for some of you even watching this video, before I go to be the Lord myself. It's just a fact here, right? Yet Jesus said, if God is so detailed and so careful about the grass that's going to be thrown into the oven tomorrow, how much more does he care and value us today? And again, friends, this goes back to who are we trusting and who's reigning and who's ruling over our hearts? Let me read this verse again. And this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry. Don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Friends, when it's all said and done, here's the bottom line. God's a provider. And he will provide for us, so there's no need to worry. God is ultimately good. God is absolutely reigning and ruling. And remembering this and reflecting upon God instead of just our circumstances, it can and it will bring us great relief from worry and anxiety and fear. And folks, let me just tell you, I am not saying this from a place of theory. I'm saying this from a place of very deep personal experience with fear and worry and anxiety. I know what it's like to have twin boys born at 2.5 pounds 3 months early. I know what it's like to wonder if my sons are going to make it through their first night of life. I know what it's like to have my son wheeled off on an operating cart to fix a hole in his heart and sign the paper that says he might not come out of the surgery. I know what it's like to be huddled in a fetal position in the hospital waiting for 2 hours for a doctor to come out and tell me, did he make it or did he not? I know what it's like to get a phone call while sitting at my desk for my wife, and then a close family member committed suicide. And then wondering and worrying these past 20 years about my broader family and how they're doing because of that one momentary decision. I felt the hand of two church members in this church as they breathed their very last breath. So friends, let me just tell you, when it's all said and done, when I'm talking about fear and worry and anxiety and how faith in God is the only way to combat that. I am not talking theoretical here. I'm talking from real deep experience with pain and anxiety and worry and some fear. And even right now in my life, there's some current things in my life right now beyond just the coronavirus that have caused me a lot of worry and anxiety in my life right now. And friends, I'm learning how to be open with my close friends about them and how to lay them at the feet of Jesus with all the anxiety and fear around some of the stuff going on in my life. It's just real life, friends. And friends, the worst thing that we can do with fear and anxiety is pretend that we're strong enough or that we don't have it. And the best thing you can do in the midst of fear and anxiety is invite God into it, invite God's people into it, and let him and his people speak into it. Let him and his people show you how he's sovereign over it in the midst of the very real fear and worry and anxiety we all are experiencing to one degree or another. Let's keep going on the passage, because then Jesus shows us how to do this, how to actually deal with this fear and this worry. He gives us some practical next step. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, friends, we gotta be careful. This verse has been misused so often. People have used this verse to say things like, well, if you seek God, if you seek his kingdom, then everything you need will be given to you. Everything you could possibly want will be given to you. No hardship, no struggle. And if you have hardship and struggle, then you might not be seeking God. And then if you know anything about Christian history, there have been so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have starved to death, who've been persecuted to death. We have some brothers and sisters in Christ who have been seeking, who are seeking first God's kingdom, who've been beaten to death. We have some amazing Christians today, right now, who are seeking first God's kingdom, who will die because of this pandemic. They will. So what are we to make of this claim from Christ? I mean, on one side, we have some people say, you see, God wants us to have everything we could possibly want, health and wealth and anything else. But that does not match up with my life or the life of my friends or the life of believers that I know. This is not a life of that's guaranteed of worry-free, pain-filled, pain-free life. It's not. It's just not that. And yet, on the other side, for me at least, it's easy for me to become cynical. I read this passage, oh yeah. Seek first his kingdom, all these things will be given to me as well. And honestly, I'm just at times a skeptic. And I secretly think, is that really true? God, are you really going to provide for everything if I seek your kingdom? So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yet it's just sometimes when I'm filled with fear and anxiety and worry, it's just hard to do. It's just hard to do. I don't always know how to do that either. I was listening to a pastor this week actually talk about how to do this. And I loved his advice when it came to seeking God's kingdom, especially God's kingdom perspective. And he said this, take every fear you have right now. Take every anxiety that you're currently experiencing and walking in right now, no matter how big or small it is, no matter how legitimate or illegitimate it is, just take it and picture how it will look. Picture what you will think about it in 10,000 years from now. I mean, imagine we're sitting with Jesus in 10,000 years, okay, in the fullness of his kingdom, and we look back in 10,000 years on right now how there's a nationwide shortage on toilet paper. I mean, how's that going to look? It's going to seem silly in 10,000 years from now that we had a shortage of toilet paper, right? And really, a lot of the fear and anxiety that we have right now, in 10,000 years looking back, when we're with Christ in his fullness of his kingdom, it's going to look a lot smaller. It's going to look a lot smaller, isn't it? And look, that doesn't completely change the weight of the anxiety that we're all feeling. But I think it helps paint the picture of how seeking his kingdom and having an awareness of his kingdom and an imagination, a picture of his kingdom, can give us perspective and peace in the middle, in the midst of anxiety. But, right, even with a 10,000-year perspective, fear and worry are going to come, which is why I love the honesty of Jesus in verse 34. He's just so honest about this. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough already. It's going to worry about itself because each day has enough trouble of its own. That's just honesty from Jesus. Hey, today's got enough trouble. There's enough trouble today for enough. I think he's being compassionate here. He's telling us just deal with the anxiety and the fear today. Fear and anxiety are inevitable in this fallen world. There's going to be enough trouble for today. So don't let that be compounded with the future trouble that's probably going to come as well. Just simply stay in today. Today has enough trouble for its own. So let's deal with that. I love his honesty and his direction there. Now the how we actually do this is the squishy part, right? How we actually deal with the fear and anxiety that we all experience to one degree or another. It's the squishy part. It's the hard part. How do we actually do this? And I'm going to come back in a little bit and give some ideas, give some thoughts on how things we can try. But first, before I do that, I simply want to give us some space to simply do what Jesus commands us to do in this passage, which is to seek first his kingdom right now. And so before I come back on video and give us some practical ways to deal with the troubles of today, I want us to first pause to reflect, to pray, and just give us space to seek God right now. So at this point, I'm about to be faded out in the video, and we're gonna bring in some singing, some songs, some music. Some of you, the lyrics will be on the screen. Some of you are gonna sing real loud where you're at. Others of you will just kind of watch the screen and watch the words. I wanna encourage you, no matter how you're going to engage in this time, to seek God, seek his kingdom. Some of you will be reflecting upon the words, and there's some amazing truths that we will sing about in these songs. Some of you will sing them boldly to God. Whatever it is, we want to give you space right now to seek first his kingdom, and then I'll come back and give some practical ways that we can put this into practice. Let's pray. I've got to pray for my friends right now in the next 10 to 15 or so minutes that you'd give them space to really seek you, to experience you, to know you. God, I pray for a kingdom perspective for all of us. I pray that you would give us all this picture of your sovereignty, this picture of your goodness, this picture of your grace, this picture of your spirit, this picture of your active working in our lives and in this world filled with the global pandemic. God, we pray that your kingdom would come in this world right now, and that your will would be done in this world right now. And God, I pray for my friends right now as we together seek your kingdom. And I pray all this in the name of Christ. Well, friends, worry, fear, anxiety, it can be paralyzing, right? And it's just a reality of everyday life for us. And let me just tell you this. Hearing one sermon on them is not going to make them magically go away. So I really want to encourage you. Just listening to one video message on this is not going to change your life. But what could is actually memorizing the passage we just went through, Matthew chapter 6. It's a way of keeping it in your heart, which will serve you so much better than just listening to one video one time. I have memorized Matthew chapter 6, this passage. It's been a huge help for me in the times of worry. It's given me great perspective in my life. Another passage you might want to memorize is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Friends, I can tell you that by memorizing these two passages, I have been personally extremely blessed when seasons of worry and anxiousness come to heart, come to mind, come to reality. See, I can replay these passages in my mind. I can meditate upon them, and I'm comforted by these very words of God. I want to encourage you, please, try to memorize this Matthew 6 and the Philippians 4 passages. It'll bless you and empower you in the future. By the way, the Philippian passage also says that we're called to pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petitions, present your request to God. It says, in the middle of anxiety, press into God and pray. And friends, this week, I want to encourage you, make time to pray. Some of us have more space in our weeks because of the social distancing, because of jobs, taking some pauses, people working from home for different things. Some of us have screaming kids at home, so it's not much more pausing, but I want to encourage you, make some space to pray today. Present your request to God. Present your anxiety and your worry to God. Also know, we're going to do this online together this week. Monday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday afternoon at noon, and Friday night at 7 p.m., we're going to pray again together online. This past week on Monday night, 25 of us got together and we prayed online. It was a beautiful thing to see some of your faces. Because in the social distancing, I'm not seeing your faces. To hear your voice and to pray with you to Jesus was so good. And so I want to encourage us to pray on our own, but also consider taking one of these three times, getting online or calling in and praying with us as a church. So memorize these passages and pray together. And finally, friends, I just want to maybe encourage you to try this. When fear and worry come your way this week, really consider trying that thought exercise I talked about earlier. You know, the what will you be thinking in 10,000 years from now thought exercise. It gives great perspective on the kingdom. This past week, there's a situation that happened in my life that it got me worked up, you know. And the situation felt so important and so pressing at the time, and it got me angry and then worked up and then worrying and then anxious. It was pretty interesting. Then that night, I took a walk around my neighborhood, and I literally pictured what I will be thinking in 10,000 years from now about the situation. And it put so much perspective in place. It was so amazing. Oh, that's right. My enemy is Satan. I'm the thief that seeks to kill and destroy. He's my enemy, not the situation over here, not this person over here. It puts so much in perspective of, oh, in 10,000 years, what matters and what doesn't matter? And friends, it was such a life-giving moment this past week as I walked around my neighborhood and pictured his kingdom in the fullness, and I sought it. It really helps me, this little exercise. I would encourage you, try it. It might help spark your imagination, your godly imagination for how big the kingdom is, how sovereign God is, and how good God is, and what it means to really seek his kingdom and get his kingdom perspective. So I would encourage you, try it this week. It's an amazing exercise. So with that said, I'm going to speak a blessing over you, okay? Here we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I pray that the worry and anxiety and fear you might be experiencing today, it would subside, that you would meet with God, and you know the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.